The title of the series is going to be Building a Home or a Hell. I want to repeat that one more time. Please hear the title. Title of the series will be Building a Home or a Hell. A lot of people have built hells to live in. And what I want to do over these next several weeks, next couple weeks, don't know exactly how long we're going to go, but I want to spend time talking about the marriage and family. Thank you very much. Thank all of you for helping with that. I want to spend time talking about the marriage and family and children. The emphasis will be the marriage. I want us to grasp what the Scriptures say, and I want us to understand some things. And I have some points that I'm really after in this series. There's so much that you can cover before it begins to run dry and it loses its emphasis. But the things that I really want to hit on, and my purpose in the series is basically fivefold. Now, I wish I could give you all of this in note form as we do on Wednesday night, but I can basically give you an outline. And on the back of your Malachi, maybe you can jot some of these things down. I think it's important enough and good enough that you would want to keep it. In fact, I think it's going to be something that you'll want to get the tape and the series and listen to it yourself, but also give it to friends and relatives that you know are having problems in their marriages. And my purpose is basically fivefold. And the first one is, I'm aware that some of you have already suffered divorce. I'm aware that some of you have suffered more than one divorce. But I'm also aware that most of you are young enough to remarry and probably will. And what I want us to see through this time is that I can help you and give you some thoughts and some understanding and some wisdom about how to make it work. But I want you to know that I'm aware that a lot of the people in the church have suffered divorce. And I want you to understand through this series that I understand that, but I also understand that wisdom doesn't come from experience. Wisdom doesn't come through gray hair. Where does wisdom come? From above. And I want you to understand you can be married 15 times. If you're married 15 times, you still won't know how a marriage works. Am I right? So I want us to understand this, and I can help you. I can give you some thoughts biblically. And we'll look at this today. I'm also aware that some of you at this very moment of your life are living in a hell that you have built. And I can help you. I'll help you some today. Number three, I'm aware that some of your children do not fellowship with God and fellowship with the body of Christ and worship God and praise them. And I can help you. Number four, I'm aware some of you have never married, but are ready to marry. And I think that it's important to hear some things specifically that we're going to say today so that you'll be prepared for that marriage. I'm aware of that. And then lastly, I'm aware that there are some really good marriages in our body. Really solid marriages. Good marriages. But I've learned in my own and in years of ministering to people that in the best of marriages, there comes times when you need to refresh it, to reread the manual, to go back and study again the things that you know, but you have just kind of gotten away from activating. So these are the basic five purposes that I'm going to be after as we go through this thing. And today, what I want to look at is basically four thoughts. First of all, I want us to learn today why homes and families fail. I want to give you in just a few moments why homes and families fail. I want to tell you why God says they fail. Not why I say or why somebody that wrote a book says. I want to show you why God says homes fail. I'm going to do that today. I want to show you today that there is a reason why praying and dancing and begging God and talking in tongues won't save your marriage. I want to show you today that Christians and their marriages, as spiritual as they can be, being spiritual won't save your marriage. I want to show you today, and I want us to learn, Christians' homes fail. See, there's this myth in the body of Christ that all you got to do is marry a believer. Just marry a believer, and that'll fix it. How many of you are married to a believer? Do you have problems in your home? Anybody that doesn't have problems in your home, you're married to a believer, raise your hand. See, if you think... If you think that that's the answer, then you're deceived. Understand, folks, that marriages are going to have rough times. And just marrying a believer is not the answer. Now, surely if you marry an unbeliever, you're already marked for destruction. Understand that. Understand that by not marrying a believer, you are really heading for problems. But understand that simply marrying a believer won't fix it. And then I want us to learn today that two people can be in love, but being in love won't save your marriage. I want to show you these things today. This is what I'm after today. It's going to be good. It's going to be good, Steve. You're going to enjoy this. You're going to learn something. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Let's pray. Father God, you've already spoken to us. You've already challenged our thinking. Father, I pray today you will make us angry. You will upset us. I pray today, Lord God, you will attack our traditions. You will attack the myths. You will attack those things, Lord God, that we hold so dearly and think it is you. And it's not you, Lord. It's traditions of men and it's doctrines of devils. And it causes us to be destroyed. I ask you today, oh God, that you will help us. That you will stir us. That you will challenge us. That you will make us angry when we find out that we've been deceived. I ask you to help us, oh God. Anoint us now. Let this word come forth that you've given to me. Allow it to come forth and help the people. Ask these things and pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We all say, Amen. Amen. Okay. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, the devil's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Is that what your Bible says? Did you say yes or no? No. The lost people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, what you've got to understand is that in this passage of Scripture, he's talking to you and he's talking to me. He's talking to believers, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, dancing, worshiping believers, priests of God, as Steve Lytle has already talked about this morning, how that he'll reject us as his priest. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that it's my people. God says my people, not the lost people or unbelieving people. Not the people that don't know me, but he says, my people are destroyed. Why? Why? Because of the devil? Come on, talk to me now. The devil, you know, you hear this, he's about robbing and killing and destroying, and surely he is, but whose fault is it here? My people. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because they're ignorant. My people are destroyed because they've never learned. My people are destroyed because they've rejected what they know. My people are destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Another thought there that I want to project as we're on it is you can have some knowledge and still be destroyed. So it's not that you don't have any, it's that you lack some. I'll talk about that more in just a little bit. My people are destroyed. Why? Because they lack knowledge. For lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Is this God rejecting his own people? Why? Lack of knowledge. I will reject thee, that thou shalt not be priest to me. You won't be able to minister to God, for God, to people, because you don't have knowledge. You've lacked knowledge. You've rejected knowledge. Therefore, I'm going to reject you. You won't be able to minister for me to people, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. The NIV Bible here is a little bit better even. It says, because you have ignored the law of your God. Because we've lacked knowledge and because we've ignored what we do know, he rejects us. I will forget thy children. Let me read that again. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. How many sees this deals with the home? Now listen. Understand that he will forget our children. He will ignore our children. And you can pray in tongues. You can dance in the Spirit. You can prophesy and work miracles. That won't save your marriage nor save your children. What saves your children? What will save your marriage? Why are people not destroyed? Why are marriages not destroyed? Because we have knowledge. Please get this. Allow this verse. Underline it. Mark it. Digest it. Understand that this is the way God thinks. Now, many of us would immediately say, well, that's not the God I serve. That's not the God I hear about. And let me say this, and I've been kind of hitting on this lately. Let me please say this. See, there is this poisoned, deluded doctrines of devil's gospel that's going about. Paul says about this in Galatians chapter 1. He says, if an angel from heaven comes and presents to you some other gospel, he said, let it be what? Accursed. See, what we've been presented is an accursed gospel. A gospel that will bring a curse on our lives. He also says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says that in the last days, men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And understand that a lot of what you and I have been taught through the times and decades and seasons of our lives have been diluted and poisoned. And it's doctrines of devils. It's been messed up with the traditions of men, which do what? Make the Word of God of none effect. And you see, we've heard this goofy gospel that concentrates on an any-minute rapture and a heaven that is not a fictitious, it is a fictitious heaven, and it is a fictitious rapture that gets us out of the mind of God. We get out of where God really is and what God really wants to do in our lives. And we're destroyed. We're destroyed because we don't know the truth. We don't know knowledge. We don't know knowledge. And because what we do know, and you need to thank God that you're in a church that teaches and preaches and lives and tries to move by the Word of God. You need to understand that you're in a place that when knowledge is given, you have the opportunity now to take that knowledge and apply it to your life. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected me, I will reject you as my priest. Because you have rejected my law, my word, my ways, I'll reject your children. You're in a place where the law of God, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached and taught and lived before you. But yet and still, what we don't know hurts us. How many has ever heard that saying, what you don't know won't hurt you? It will hurt you. You're destroyed if you don't know it. And then secondly of all, when it is taught to you, you reject it. And a lot of the body of Christ and a lot of us in our church is this way. Remember the story I told you about the man? The man that said, Delbert, I see that, but I don't receive that. Remember I told you that story about that person? You know what? His children, it seems God's forgotten them. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to say his name. Some of you know who I'm talking about. But see if what I'm telling you is not true. Now, how does this work? How can God be like this? How does this really work? How can this Word of God be so hard and so seemingly so cruel? And boy, we've heard of the teachings of a great God who loves us. And God is what? Love. But He's also a consuming fire. You know, we've got to understand all of God and not just the part that we kind of just want. Understand the whole aspects of the gospel of Christ. How does this work? How does this work? Let me try to explain it to you. Under explanation. The way that you run your home is basically the way your parents ran their home. Am I right? And the way that your children will run their home is going to be basically the way you ran your home. And so we hand these things down from generation to generation. It's just the way it is. So, if I don't know nothing, if I'm ignorant, but I teach Lance and Bonnie everything I know, what have I taught them? Are they still ignorant? What about that? And we have this aspect, and I'm going to hit this again in just a second. We have this aspect, I'm going to listen to my mentors. Well, your mentors may not be right. We have this thinking that gray-headed people, because of their experience, have wisdom. You know what gray-headedness means? You're just getting older. You've been married 15 times, Jim, and still not know how marriage works. Be gray-headed. Let me tell you, folks, there is an answer. And it is knowledge. And it's taking that knowledge and applying that knowledge, which is called wisdom. When you know something and you apply it, then you're a wise person. When you know something and you don't apply it, you've rejected it. He'll say, I reject you and I reject your children. Because you haven't taken it, applied it into your life, worked it into your life, also worked it into your children and taught them how to do it. Then I got to reject them. It's not that I want to. It's just that you have rejected my word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if we reject his word, what are we really rejecting? Pardon? Rejecting him. And so over the next couple of weeks, the things I'm going to talk about and emphasize are things that I really know will work. This is a putting together of what understanding I have of Scripture and what understanding I have of life and what understanding I have of marriage. And if I'm good at anything, it's good with family. I have raised a great family. And if I'm good at something, then that's what I'd be good at. And I know this. And I counsel with people that have problems in these areas. And I can tell them pretty quickly where they're wrong. So what I'll be sharing with you over the next couple of weeks, over the next while, will be concerning these things. And that's how that works. You reject it, or you don't study the Bible, and you don't know the principles, so therefore you work those same principles into your children who go on to their homes and their families, and they suffer basically the same things that you've suffered in your home, which you're going to go on to their children, and they're going to suffer basically the same things that you have suffered. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. So the reason, number one, I'm telling you why our homes are destroyed, primarily the one reason, and I'm going to, it's summed up in, you don't have knowledge. You don't know how to fix the problem. Am I right? You don't know how to fix what's wrong in your marriage. Do you lack knowledge? If you lack knowledge, will it destroy you? So if you don't know anything, and you teach your kids all you know, you haven't taught them anything. Sir, you can know you can know nothing. Let me start over. Sir, you can know, if you don't know anything about being a father and you teach your son everything in the world that you know about being a father, what have you taught him? Nothing. Ma'am, you can know nothing about being a mother, but you teach your daughter everything you know about being a mother, what have you taught her? Nothing. You can know nothing about reverencing your own husband, and you can teach your daughter everything that you know about reverencing your own husband, but what have you taught her? So what I'm trying to say here is that we have got to do what the Scripture says. We've got to grasp the knowledge. We have got to apply the knowledge into our lives so that it ministers to us and will minister to others, become priests. And then God will then receive us and receive our children. And that's what we're after. That's what we're after here. That's what we're trying to emphasize and trying to teach. So, a couple questions. Can you pray in tongues, dance, rejoice, beg God to save your marriage? And will that alone save your marriage? No. Can you be a Christian married to a believer, to another Christian? And will that make your marriage work? No. And let me say this, and I really don't want to emphasize on this, but I really believe, and I know this is true, that the number one problem in our nation today is homes out of God's way. See, society is messed up. But a society could be no stronger than the families that make up the society. Am I right? And if you want to find out the society and the problems that society is having, then you look at the families. And you'll find that what's going on in society is going on in the families. And so, I am a believer that the number one problem today is people do not know God's ways about home and family. So let's get started here. Number one, the first point that we've got to grasp out of this aspect of this text of passage is, what must I possess in knowledge? What knowledge must I possess? What have I got to get my hand on? What is it? If it all starts with knowledge, if I am destroyed because I don't have knowledge, If my home is being destroyed or is destroyed because I lack knowledge, what knowledge must I possess? And so what I want to give you today is ABC. Components, purpose, and understanding. Love is not what a marriage is built upon. A, components. B, purpose. C, understanding that love is not what you build your marriage on. I want to try to cover this. You need to understand that a marriage is made up of components. And when I mean this, I mean there are many parts to a marriage. It's not just one part. Using an automobile for an example, is an automobile made up of many components? And if a tire is flat, do you fix the radio? Okay? You see. But yet, I see this happen so much, people having problems in a marriage, rather than fixing what's wrong, they want to emphasize something else or even somebody else. It's somebody else's problem. It's somebody else's fault. And emphasizing money when money's not the problem and disciplining kids are the problem. And so what you've got to understand is that your marriage, my marriage, any marriage, has many, many components. As an automobile, has many, many components. And what you work on and what you fix and what you give your attention to is the component that's hurting, the component that's broken, the component that's not working right. Because one of these components that I'm about to read you, one of these components in a marriage can destroy the marriage. If you don't have knowledge how to fix this one component, it will destroy your marriage. And let me read you some of these components that are marriage. And there's hundreds of them, but I just got a few that I rapidly wrote down here. There's a marriage, and it consists of a man and a woman. At least the marriages that I perform consist of men and women. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that you've got a part and your spouse has a part. That there's two parts. That you've got a part to do and the spouse has got a part to do. And so the marriage immediately now has two people that you're having to be concerned about rather where you have been concerned about one person. And now there's two people. So that, how many knows that either one of those people can destroy the marriage? If either one of those people don't do what they're supposed to do, the marriage can be destroyed. There's relationships now between this man and this woman. See, the relationship must be maintained. The relationship must be maintained. And it's his part and it's her part. You've got to work for the relationship. The other spouse has to work for the relationship. What you're doing is you're working for the relationship. If only one spouse is working to maintain the relationship, can that destroy your marriage? See, any one of these components not working right can destroy the marriage. Another one, children come along. I was talking to someone this week, and I know who the person was, but I don't want to mention the name because I don't want you to think that he was talking about himself. But this person told me, they said, you know, it seems like marriages do pretty well until kids come along. How many knows that children can put a strain on a marriage? Is this true? And if this isn't handled right, if this isn't taken care of right, it can destroy the marriage. Parenting, disciplining children. Someone told me this week, there was a man in our city who waited 14 years to discipline his daughter. He finally spanked her, and the daughter and the mother left the man. See, you got to be together on parenting your children. You got to work. How many realizes that this is serious stuff? See, when you're at odds on how you're going to discipline your children, and one's usually a disciplinary and the other one's not, and the other one has to work on it harder, and one of them, if he's not careful, will leave too many bruises. So, but there's a balance that comes along. But somewhere along the way, you've got to understand that not being together on disciplining children can destroy your marriage. It's another component. Another component is there's relationship between the parents and the children, and the children and the parents. Book of Malachi, in the fourth chapter, it ends with this particular passage, scripture. It says, but I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, if you really want to know where a move of God is happening, you'll find that happening. You'll find parents and kids having proper relationships. You'll find that parents are turning to their children, and children are turning to their parents, and there's this proper time that's spent. You have got, parents, to set apart time to spend with your children. You see, the way the verse reads is, I will turn the hearts of the parents, or the fathers, to the children, and then the hearts of the children to the fathers. Who must turn first? The parents. You have got to set aside time to spend time with your kids. They will turn their hearts to you, and then they'll listen to you. But today, we're so busy. We're so busy. We don't have time. What is the national average? Somebody help me with this, but I think that the national average of a father with their parents, with their children today, I believe that they spend 45 minutes a week. That the national average is less than 1 hour a week that they spend in dialogue and spending time with that children, with that child. 45 minutes. That won't cut it. And what you're going to have is a problem, folks. You're going to have rebellious children. This is going to cause problems in your home, in your marriage. This is going to erupt and cause other problems. Your relationship with your wife, your spouse, your husband. It's going to cause all sorts of problems if proper time and these components aren't taken care of correctly. Then there's relatives. How many knows that in-laws can cause problems in marriage? Now, I know we joke about the mother-in-law. But how many know that in-laws really can cause problems in a marriage? And if it's not dealt with properly, it can destroy your marriage. There's friends and relationships. Can friends destroy your marriage? Boy, you better believe it. Listen, we have someone that's in, not in my immediate family, but in our family. This particular person is always being taken off. She's divorced now. It destroyed her marriage. It was one of the parts that destroyed the marriage, but it's always taken her out into the clubs and into the where men were and drinking and dope and she got out there, destroyed the marriage. Seen guys do the same thing. Guys will run with their buddies. You see, they forget they're married. And they'll start. That was one of the first problems that Judy and I ever had in our marriage. Is I kept running with my buddies, and I like to go hunting, and we kept going hunting, and she got mad at me. I'd go with my buddies. Now, I wasn't doing dope and drinking and stuff, but eventually if I'd have kept it up, it probably would have led to that. How many understand that your friends can destroy your marriage? Wrong friends coming in. Too close of a relationship, a woman can get attached to your husband. Relationship coming in there. You can get your wife can get attached to another man. You've got to be careful about relationships. Destroy your marriage. And another component of marriage is there's finances. And the handling of finances. Of all of the marriage counseling that I've done and literally hundreds of counseling times with people, I've only had one that did not include financial problems. Now, whether it was the component that needed the first attention or not, that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about that somewhere in this problem, finances come into the picture. Only one in all that I've done that I can remember did not have something to do with finances. Finances can destroy your marriage. Now, what I'm trying to project to you, there's hundreds of these components. But any one of these components, not functioning as it should, not getting the care and what it really needs to be looked at, any one of these components can destroy your marriage. I was this summer, this year, spring especially. I guess I've about quit now. But I started doing some fishing this year. You can look at my garden and you can look at my flower beds and you can tell the boy has not been at home this year. And I've gone fishing and I've relieved a lot of my stuff and time. You know, I've just spent a lot of time down at Lake Weiss and fishing or out here at City Pond. But I've just gone fishing. Well, one morning I was going fishing and so I walked up to where I parked the truck and the boat. It leans like this, more maybe like this, but it leans. And as I walk up to the truck, the front right front wheel was low. It had a good tread on it, but the tire was low. And this wasn't really that unusual. We for some reason, when the thing automobile sets like this, it puts extra pressure somehow anyway. And if there's a little leak anywhere at all for the air to get out, it'll do it. And the right front tire was low. And I saw as I walked up the hill to get into the vehicle, I saw that tire was low. I said, I need to put some air in that tire. Now, in the summertime, the roads have a tendency to heat up more. And that's why you see a lot more people broken down on the interstates and roads changing tires. It's because the roads are hot. And it's tough on tires when the roads are hot. So anyway, my tire is low, and so I said, well, I'll put some air in it. And I had every intention, when I come down the hill, to pull over here into the pit stop and air up that tire. But for some reason, I didn't think about it, and I turned and I went on to Lake Wash. So I go down to Lake Wash, and I go fishing, and I have a fun day, and I've got to get back that afternoon. So I leave him plenty of time to get back to do something that I needed to do. So I'm coming back up Lake Wash, and well, I come back out of the lake, and I walk up where my truck's parked, and I opened the one door because it was hot, and I rolled down the window, and I walked around the truck to open up the other door and let the air through so it won't make me nauseous as I get into that hot vehicle. And I look down, and my tire is lower now than it was when I came. So now I know I have a serious problem here, that I really do need to get some air in this tire. And then we're talking temperatures in the 90s, and the roads would probably be what? If the temperature's 90, the roads are going to be 120. We're talking some hot roads. And I said, I've got to get some air in that tire. Got in the car, backed up, loaded the boat, took off. Every intention to put some air in that tire. Well, I got about 5 miles down the road, and coming up Highway 100 between outside of Somerville, I was about 10 miles out of Somerville on 100. I was coming up and, well, I had a component, Doug, that needed immediate attention, but I didn't give it to it. Now I blow the tire out. So I get out and I'm aggravated. And if you've ever had a flat tire, you know, you get aggravated even if you're a preacher. You just don't like to spend time changing the tire. And so I get in the truck and get out the jack, and I've got the spare tire and all this stuff. So I'm getting all this stuff out, and I'm getting under the, and it's hot, and I'm sweating, and I'm getting dirty, and I'm trying to get this old jack jacked up, and the jack goes broosh. It just, the seals in there just flatten out, and it won't turn. It won't go up in nothing. So I'm out here, no houses anywhere close to me, and my jack won't work, and I'm aggravated, and I'm hot, and I'm sweaty. How many of you ever get sweaty in your marriage? You know, this is a tremendous illustration. You get aggravated. You ever get aggravated in your marriage? And things start getting nasty. And the jack won't work. And what you were going to use to fix it didn't fix it. So what I do is I pull the jack and I throw it in the back of the truck and I get in the car and I got it. Now, I can't just leave my boat. My boat's got all this fishing stuff in it. Motors and all this stuff. I just can't walk off down the road and say, hey, can you come take me back? I have got to stay with my boat. So here I go. I go down the road, drive down the road on this wheel. Now, I knew my tire's gone. My tire's blowed out. I knew it was no good. But now I'm messing up my wheel. See, when one component goes bad and you don't fix it like you should, there's going to be another component that's soon going bad. And I'm riding down the road. And have you ever done that? Have you ever ridden on a wheel? All right. And this old truck is not the newest truck in the world. And then I'm riding down the road, you know. And I stop at 4 or 5 houses, and nobody will either come to the door. And I don't blame them. I mean, my goodness, they'll cut your head off today. I mean, you know, you just don't go to the door when some guy walks up sweaty, nasty. You know, you just don't do it today. And I'm aggravated. Nobody will help me, and nobody will stop. I'm driving down the road. And now my power steering belt jumps off because my tire is jumping. And now I'm having to fight this thing. And one component is tearing up another component. And I'm mad, and I'm angry. And I'm cussing, Randy. I know you never do that in your marriages. I'm not really. I'm just using. I know nobody here cusses. And I'm upset. Finally, I get a guy to let me use his jack, and I get my tire changed, and I get home. But the tires are out of line, and my steering wheel is, my power steering's off, and one component has messed up another component. And all I had to do, Steve, was put some stupid air in that tire. I about lost my salvation. Not sure it didn't, but I got it back. How many knows your marriage will cause you to lose your salvation? And one component begins to affect another component. And where the air would have cost me literally nothing, it ended up costing me $55 to fix that tire. And a component, one component, messing up in your marriage, if you don't fix it, and see, usually I don't hear about it until it's affected the whole marriage. The whole automobile is shaking now. And now you run all the oil out of the car and you tore up the motor. And because you didn't put the air in the tire. How many is hearing what I'm trying to say to you today? Fixing the component when the component needs fixing is the secret to keeping your marriage functioning like it should be functioning. But you got to have the knowledge as to how to fix it. How many knows I had the knowledge how to put air in a stupid tire? You see, but I didn't. I rejected that knowledge. So what happened? That tire rejected me. That really happened. Any one component going bad will mess up the whole thing. Deal with the component. Get the knowledge. Okay, let's just use an example. Disciplining children. You're having problems in your home. Disciplining children. She wants to do it this way. I want to do it this way. Well, let's find out what God says. Let's get God's knowledge on the situation. What does God say how to do it? How many knows this Bible will tell me how to discipline my children? And that's got to be the ultimate and the final analysis of the problem. I take what He says and I do it. Therefore, I have taken His knowledge. Therefore, I have now given it to my children. And the Bible says that if you don't discipline your children, you hate them. Now I have properly instructed my child. I have put this into my child. My child will now know that when he is old and that he has a child and the child rebels, then he needs to discipline this child. And he will know how properly to discipline the child because it's in the Word of God. And also I have come to the conclusion, I have showed my family that I'm allowing the Word of God to be the ultimate and the final authority in my life and in my home. That's just one. Any of the components, any component, you find out what God says. Finances. What does He say about finances? What does He say about relationship? What does He say about reverence in the husband? What does He say about loving the wife? What does He say? Don't reject it because He'll reject you. And if He rejects you, He's going to reject your children. Number two, or B. A is components, B is purpose. The closer we get to God, you or I or anybody, any individual or marriage, the closer it gets to God, the stronger it becomes. The further away it gets from God and its purpose, the weaker it becomes. It's amazing to me that the marriages that I never have to talk to or counsel or deal with and that knows their purpose, knows what they're supposed to be doing, and they're doing it. The marriages I never have to help are doing what they're supposed to be doing in the kingdom of God. They know their purpose. They have a vision, and they're working on that vision, and they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. The marriages that have problems, the marriages that I have to give attention to, are the marriages that don't know what in the world they're supposed to be doing, and they're over here doing everything, and they're getting further away, and weaker. Purpose is a key to getting to God. Purpose is a secret to strength. When I get out of the purpose of this church, I find out that things go badly. I find out there's not enough money to take care of everything. I find out that things aren't going good. But when I stay in the purpose, I get closer to God and He takes care of everything. And it's that way with your marriage. Your marriage has a purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what your marriage is supposed to do? Do you know the purpose of your joining? You know you got joined and you got a wife or you got a husband, but what is the purpose of the relationship? What are you doing in the kingdom? What is the purpose? Purpose. In all of my years in dealing with families, it's been unique that the people that I've had to give the attention to were the people that were out of purpose. The people that never need attention and it seems that everything goes well for them, they get stronger and stronger, are the people that understand their purpose and they do it. Okay. I have a VCR. Here's my VCR. It is the Gold Star VCR. This sucker can do anything. Telling you what, it can tell me the time of day. I can program it today for something that I want it to do a year from today. It's pretty smart. It can record television programs for me. It can record off another VCR or off a camcorder. It can play back videotapes. It can play movies. I can plug it into the cable system and use it to change channels. I have a remote control for it. I thought I brought it in. I can stand in the back of the room and I can work that thing. It can go fast forward. It can go fast reverse. It's got a deal on it where I can turn it and go slow motion, frame by frame. I can slow it down. I can go backwards. it's got a thing in there that I can write on a videotape. I can title it. I can write anything I want to write on a videotape with this machine. It's a good machine. And it has a purpose. It has a purpose. And when I went to the store to buy it, they told me all this stuff, and I saw them do it with the thing, and I want that one. Give me that one. So we got the VCR, and I got home, and I plugged it in, and these little lights come on across the bottom that show me it was plugged in, but I couldn't make it do none of that stuff. I couldn't make it play. I couldn't make it record. I couldn't even make it tell me the time. I had to do. Do what? You are so sharp. I had to read the manual. It wasn't hard, you know. Now, how many of you always read the manual? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever read that whole manual in your glove compartment of your automobile? How many of you have ever read that manual? One, two, three. All right, four. All right, now here's the deal. Here's the deal. If I were to ask you, how many of you have ever studied out the Bible concerning marriage, raising children, read the manual, I'd get about the same response. About four of us. How many knows there is a manual? And you see, the manual tells you how to perform all the functions and all the purposes of the thing. Who created this VCR? Gold Star. So Gold Star knows how the thing works, and they wrote a manual on it. Who created marriage? Do you have a manual? How many knows we're not going to get done today with what I wanted to get done? And on the front of the manual, and most manuals, it says, before connecting, operating, or adjusting this product, please read this instruction booklet carefully and completely. And you know what happened? When I read the manual, I could work that thing. I could do every one of those functions and those purposes that thing was created to do. Do you know your marriage is that way? Your marriage can do a lot of things. A lot of great things. It's created to do a purpose. It's created to do a lot for you. Let me read you some of the purposes that your marriage can provide for you. Your marriage and your home can do things like provide companionship for you until death do you part. All the days of your life, you can have a companion. You'll never be lonely until death do you part. Your marriage can provide that for you. Your marriage can provide you security. Your marriage and your home can bring physical pleasure and joy and happiness. Your marriage can create children and a heritage for you. Your marriage and your home can be a place of comfort and solace and rest for you. Now, a lot of times it's a hell for you. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying a lot of homes are hells. And what we've got to understand is that God has a purpose for us, for our homes, and it should be a place of comfort and solace and rest. But to have these, I really do need to read the manual before I plug it in. We've just gone through a wedding in our family. Jody and Bonnie, how many months now? 4 months. Okay. They spent around a year planning this wedding. Cost a lot of money. Cost a lot of money. They planned the ceremony. They planned what they was going to wear. They planned the reception. They planned the announcements. They planned and planned and planned the ceremony and the wedding. Planned it and planned it and planned it. Most of us are that way. See, that's the American dream. That we'll get married and we'll live happily. How long did it take you to figure out that it really wasn't going to be exactly happily ever after? You see, don't answer. That's the soap opera. That's the Hollywood and the soap opera thing. Listen, it doesn't work there. And it won't work for you. If they can't do it on television and on the soap operas and on the movies, there ain't no way you can do it. Let me ask you, when we get married, and I'm not going to ask them because I don't want to put them on the spot or anything, but what if we give a year to planning how we're going to do the wedding, and for that particular day, and we spend all that money either on the wedding or the honeymoon, because you guys spend a little money on your honeymoon. Mm-hmm. What if we took that time and an equal amount of time and an equal amount of money to figuring out how we were going to make the marriage work before we plugged it in. Do you think we would get a better result? You see, you want to plug it in and it just works. That's what I wanted to do. Remember my illustration? I just wanted to plug it in and make it do all those things they did where I bought it at. And that's what you and I want to do. We just want to plug it in. We don't want to read the manual, and we don't want to prepare for the marriage. Am I right? You know I'm right. I'll finish this point and we'll quit. There's so much more we really need to get here. Another point about this purpose thing is I'm always reading my manual. I'm always rereading it. Every time we do King's Castle or go over to Reading Circle or have special ministries come in, sometimes I'll put together these videos, and that's what I use to put it together with because it can do it. But even though I've read the manual and I have actually made it do what it does, when I sit down the next time with that VCR, I'm going to have to read this thing again. Is anybody else like this now? I mean, you know, you just can't maintain all of that. But yet, for some reason, we think that if we read the Bible one time, or if we come to church on Sunday mornings, and the preacher preaches about marriage, then I've got all there is to know about it, and I don't ever need to reread the manual again. See, what I'm doing right now is I'm rereading the manual. Even though I have a great marriage, even though we have a wonderful relationship, even though our home is good, I'm rereading the manual again right now. As I minister it to you, I'm rereading it. And folks, you got to understand, even though there was a time in your marriage that it worked real well and all the components were functioning properly, and then it seems over a period of time, how many know you wear out tires? Your air will go down in the tire. Am I right? You got to change oil. It takes some maintenance. And you need to reread the manual to find out what kind of oil, how many pounds of pressure in your tire, what kind of tires, what size tires to put on the thing. You've got to reread the manual again about your marriage. What does God say? Because we have a tendency to watch soap operas in Hollywood and all of these things and let the world influence us. And really, folks, I'm telling you, that messes us up. One component out of order, not understanding the purpose of what your marriage is about, can destroy your marriage. Understand, you need to reread the manual. And that's why from time to time we do another teaching on marriage. We do another teaching on marriage. And we do another teaching on marriage. See, some of you have already heard all that I've ever said right here. You've already heard this stuff. But I'm doing it again because you need to rehear it again. We need to reread the manual. And then to know the purpose of a thing, don't ask the thing. VCR, what is your purpose? If I want to find the purpose of the VCR, I need to talk to the creator of the VCR. Am I right? If you want to find the purpose of your marriage, who you need to talk to? God, what is this marriage for? In actuality, what I really want to cover before I say this, you should know the purpose of your marriage before you plug it in. Did Adam know what he was supposed to do before he met Eve? Simple question. It's not a trick question. Did Adam know what he was created to do before he met Eve? Yes, he did. And Eve come along to do what? For what Adam was created to do. Help him. Son of a gun. And what we have got to learn, folks, in our marriages, and especially you young people that have never been married, please know what you're supposed to do. What is your purpose of creation? Why did God create you? What are you supposed to do? And you better find somebody that's going to help you do it. Because if you don't, you got problems. Don't ask the thing what it's created to do. Once you get married and you say, well, I wonder what we're supposed to do. So those things need to be taken care of before. And the last point on this one, or maybe the one I'll quit with, is your mentors may not know the purpose. Your mentors may not know the purpose. I've already said some things about older and especially like gray-headed people. And I'm a respectful person. Understand, I respect old people, young, I respect people. But we have this thing that because mom and daddy did it this way, this is the way I'm going to do it. But your mentors may not have known the purpose. Wisdom doesn't come from gray hair. Wisdom comes from above. Job had friends, and Job was going through this time of crisis, and he had four friends, and three of these friends were gray-headed guys, old guys, and then he had one friend that was a young guy. And the young guy was sitting, he listened to these old guys talk, and these old guys, the more the young guy listened to the old guys, he found out that the old guys really didn't have any wisdom. Am I right? Is that the way the story goes? Jesus was 12 years old, and he fascinated the Pharisees with his wisdom. Because wisdom doesn't come with age. Wisdom comes from above. Wisdom doesn't come with experience. Wisdom comes from above. And your mentors, those that you are mentoring after, may not have known the purpose. And I've already opened it up with this, is that because most of the way that we run our homes is the way our parents run the home, unless something happened and something changed it, unless God intervened, unless we found knowledge that was different from what our mentors mentored us to do, unless we found some knowledge or some concept or precept that was God-like and we adjusted and changed it, then we went on into another direction. Now, let me give you an example. Daddy's here. Daddy's a great man, strong man, worked, provided, and everything. But Daddy, who ran our home?
Mama.
No doubt about it. Mama was the boss. Mama took care of the finances. Mama paid the bills. Mama was mama. Now, who runs our home? Because, you see, I saw in the scripture where the husband was the head. I saw in the scripture where it was my responsibility to take care of the fine. I saw in the scripture where there was things that I needed to do to protect her and cover her. Now, your home may not be that way. And please don't dictate your home after my home. You find the purpose of your home and you find out what it's supposed to do. Every home's not the same. I was talking with somebody this week and that particular thought come up. Listen, guys, if you can't take care of the finances and if you won't pay the bills, then for goodness sakes, don't let them just go. Let the wife pay them. Let somebody take care of it. Am I right? I mean, let's use some sense here. But what I'm trying to say to you, unless you find out that you weren't mentored exactly right, and I'm not putting down homes, but I am saying that, listen, folks, that we've got to use some wisdom to understand that sometimes our mentors didn't know all the answers, they didn't have all the knowledge, they might have had a part of the knowledge, but God will still destroy it. A part of your life can still be destroyed if you lack the knowledge of that particular part, that particular component. And so what I began to do is I began to study the scriptures and learn the scriptures and give my life to the scriptures. I began to adjust our home and our relationship. And when I took the checkbook, and I had to take it from Judy. Well, actually, I didn't take it to her. What'd you do, Judy? When I got the checkbook, how did I get it? Tell everybody, Judy, how I got the checkbook. How humble. So you see, you all think that this little old sweet thing. Judy, tell the people how I got the checkbook.
I threw it at you.
Across the room. Take it then. You don't like the series. But now she loves it. Now she didn't like it then. Because she didn't think I'd do a good job with it. But she loves it now. Now she says, how much money can I spend? And then she doesn't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it. So what I'm just using this as an example. But your mentors might not have mentored you, right? There may have been some areas that needed adjusting. And as you read the manual, as you find the purpose, and as you look at the way God wants things done in your life, in your home, and your family, you'll find out that it can change for your life and you can get knowledge and not be destroyed in that area. Your mentors. Job had friend. Wisdom comes from above. Now, again, I'm respectful. I'm closing with this. But an 80-year-old guy would say something like this, you know,
listen here, sonny. Because I'm 80 years old, I've got to know the way to do it, right?
No, not necessarily. And because Mom and Daddy did it this way, that's not necessarily the right way to do it. You see, if you're 80 years old and you were ignorant when you were 20, and you didn't do anything about it, you didn't learn anything, when you're 80 years old, that doesn't make you smart. You're still ignorant. Is that right? Excuse another. If you didn't learn algebra when you was 20, If you didn't know algebra when you were 20, and you get to be 80, do you know algebra all of a sudden because you become 80? And so what I'm trying to show us today is that mentors won't help you with the purpose. Mentors won't help you understand. To get the purpose of the thing, don't go to the mentor, go to the Creator. To get the purpose of the thing, to understand why you're married and what you're supposed to accomplish and what you're supposed to do, then don't go to your mentors who you're designing your family after. Go to the Creator and find out what you're supposed to be doing. Discern, discern. That's what I want you to do, learn in this body is how to discern. You see, how many of us have had some connection with family? Raise your hand. Somewhere along the way, you were in a family. Okay, I think that's most of us. Some of you are rejecting me. But remember, because everybody has had, and everybody in the world has, because everybody somewhere along the way has had some encounter with family, does that make them an expert? Just because somebody has encountered it and experienced it doesn't mean they're an expert on it. And if you really want to learn about it, then go to the Creator. Find out. Get the book. Find out what He says about it. And then fix it like He says to fix it. And I've got to quit. I'll just give you these scriptures. Finishing up this point. No, I won't do this. We'll just quit. This is going to be good. I'm going to try very desperately on touchy situations and hard situations to deal with. I'm going to try very desperately to bring humor into it. When you're laughing, when you're hurting, it doesn't hurt as bad. And I really want to challenge our thinking. It's sad. It's so sad to me. Because when I read this passage, I see where, because we don't know, or either we've rejected what we do know, that our children are the ones that really suffer. But by my understanding and getting the knowledge and then taking the knowledge, making it wisdom, applying it to my life, not rejecting it, then not only am I a priest of God, not only am I used of Him for myself and He blesses me and the home. And I'll just, when I say this, well, I don't have time to get it. With the priest of God, not only do I bless others and minister to myself, but also I pass it on to my children and they're blessed. Primary problem in America today is the family. We have rejected His ways. We've rejected His law, His word. And it's kind of like the days of the judges where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there's a problem. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's time to quit. And I pray that You by Your Spirit have touched hearts and purposes in lives today. That You've said some things that would challenge our tradition. You've said some things that would cause us maybe to see a component in our life that is deflated, that needs to have air put in it. And Father, I suppose the primary thing I would ask You to do today is that You would speak to the hearts of the people and the components in their lives that need attention. That You would create within them the desire to make attention in this component so that it won't affect other components and that it won't affect the steering of the entire marriage. Father, minister to us. You have created this house for this purpose, I do believe, to minister to children and families. And Father, I pray the things that I've said today and ministered have been in no way offensive to those of us who have suffered divorce. Those of us who are now divorced or having problems in our marriage. I pray, Father, that what we've shared and said today would only minister. It would be oil and wine to pour into it and to help heal it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. No one looking around. Just want to get a response. Kind of, I use this as a barometer or a thermometer when I minister to see if I'm on track and if I've touched hearts and ministered to lives. Something I've said today has ministered to you and it sparked a thought or showed you something that needed adjusting or that needed some help in your particular life, your marriage. Maybe you're not married yet, but you're going to be married. But you heard something that helps you look for what you want, helps you understand. We're going to get into that much more later. But there's been some things today that was said that encouraged you or helped you or showed you an area that needed attention in your particular situation. Would you slip your hand up just encouraging me? Amen. Hands up everywhere. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Number at the church is 638-7620. But let me, before I say what I'm going to say about that, you need help with your marriage. You need counseling. I want you to call me. But really what I want to do, if you will allow me, and you can look now, you can look around. If you'll allow me, I would really rather not know your situation at this time. It may hinder some things that I would want to say. And so what I'm asking you to do is go to one of the elders. If you need marital counseling, I want you to go to one of the elders. And their homes are stable and their homes are good. And I want you to go and let them sit with you and minister to you. I don't want you elders to tell me. Not until it's over. Not until we're done with the series. I want to hear a pure word of God during these weeks. And I believe that's honorable, don't you? Because if it's God and He has something He wants me to say, I believe I can hear Him. And I believe I can bring it. So, please, and let me make it real clear. You know the number. And if you've got to talk to me, then fine. But folks, these guys will help you better than me. They can help you. My wife, people want us to counsel them. And listen, you would think that in a marriage counseling situation, that I would be the hard one. And that I would be the one that would jump on you, kind of a thing. But in a one-on-one situation, I'm very merciful. I'm tender and loving and just so merciful. But this gal here, she's tough. She'll tell you what's wrong and how to fix it, period. I mean, there's not a lot of mercy in there. And what I'm trying to say to you here is that really, you will be just as happy getting these elders to minister to. We were in one just not long ago. Great day in the morning. I felt sorry for the people when they left. Great day. But she's straight. And she's real. And this is going to be a good time for our church. It's going to be a good series. And I believe it's going to be something that I pray maybe one day the Lord will let me write a pamphlet and a book about it and be able to share it with the body of Christ. But there are a lot of answers, and you need maybe to bring friends and people that you know are having problems, not to be counseled, but just to listen and just to sit and to receive. It's going to be a lot of good things. I didn't even get close to being finished today. There's so much, so much, so much God wants to say to us about this. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit.